Christmas story. We're going to kind of turn the service around a little bit. I'm going to read the Christmas story. If you want to go to Luke chapter 2. After that, we're going to have a special song. Then I'm going to come up and bring the message. And then at the conclusion of the message, what I'd like to do is have a time of testimonies. And I think you'll understand more of what I'm going for as I preach the message, because we're going to preach on this subject, glory to God in the highest. And you can begin to think, and we talked about the Holy Spirit this morning and him coming to us and nudging us during Sunday school and speaking to us. And I'm so glad that, you know what, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is not just for the men that stand behind the pulpit, but it's for the people that sit in the pew. And as I'm preaching, I want you to ask the Lord, what could I get up and say that would bring glory to you today in the service? As you review the year, as you think about the goodness of God and the grace of God upon your life, I want you to ask the Lord, because I'd like to have some time where we just have some testimonies. And then after that, we'll light the candles, and then we will have a bit of Christmas caroling at the end. Sing some of the sacred Christmas songs together. And if you didn't get a candle, anybody here not get a candle as you were coming in? We could get you one. Did we miss anyone? All righty. If you're in Luke chapter number 2, let me get there. Luke chapter number 2. We're going to begin reading. I'm just going to have you remain seated, because we're going to read a healthy portion of this story. Luke chapter 2, verse number 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenus was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Heavenly Father, thank you for the reading of this, the Christmas story. And bless, Lord, our time together as we celebrate, Lord, the birth of Christ, and also spend some time joining the angels in glory, glorifying you, bringing glory to God in the highest. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
The first Noel, the angel did say, was to certain poor shepherds in fields where they lay. In fields where they lay, keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night that was.
In the account of this Christmas story, we see that a gloriously bright angel came upon a group of what I call third shift working shepherds on the night of Christ's birth. The angel came with an important announcement. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Then after announcing the birth of Christ, the angel, the Bible says, was joined by a multitude of heavenly hosts as they filled the skies above Bethlehem. Can you imagine this? They began, the Bible says, to praise the Lord. Now, I don't know about you, but I love to read the Bible and try to best I can picture things. Matter of fact, I've read the Christmas story in some very unusual places just so that I could best imagine it. I remember years ago on a Christmas morning, I went out to the barn to feed the cows. And we had a stack of hay on one side and a little barrier separating the hay from where the cows were able to get in out of the weather. And I'd taken my New Testament with me on this Christmas morning, threw the cows some hay, climbed up in the bales of hay, watched the cows below me, pulled out Luke chapter 2, and thought to myself, you know what, we can glamorize the situation, but the honest truth is, our Savior came to this earth in a very humble and very lowly way. And so I've sat in a barn on Christmas morning and read the Christmas story. A few years ago, about midnight of Christmas Eve, I took my New Testament out into the yard. And I love living out in the country. It's dark out there. And it was a moonless night, but a clear night, which means that the stars were just shining in brilliance. You know, one of those nights where you go out and you think to yourself, I had no idea there was this many and they were this beautiful. And I opened my Bible up and stood by the garage window where I had a little bit of light and read the Christmas story. And I read this part about the shepherds. And as I looked to heaven, I thought, can you imagine them looking up and thinking they were seeing stars, but one star become brighter than the other stars. And that star descends until they realize it's not a star. It's a single angel. The Bible says a single angel came. And he made this glorious announcement and scared them half to death. And by the way, it has scared you too. I promise you, it has scared you too. And then all of a sudden, the stars around them descend. And this glorious heavenly host brightens the sky to almost noonday brilliance. And then this, the contemporary movement wants to try to create a praise and worship environment, and they fail miserably at it. But I'm going to tell you, the angels pulled it off that night. There was real praise. There was real glory. And the Bible says that they began to sing and praises of adoration. But as they praised the Lord, one spoken message rose above all of the others. And this is what the Bible says, that they heard, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Now, let's just stop. We've heard that 100 times, haven't we? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. You know, the angels could have said anything after announcing the birth of Christ. But when they filled the skies, they basically gave us two things, two mandates, two heavenly requests. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. And I got to meditating on that this week, and I thought this. The Christian life could be easily summarized by fulfilling these two mandates. Think about that. If we were to spend our life truly bringing glory to God, and if we were to spend our life being good to our fellow men, I'm not sure that we wouldn't have lived out what the Bible says. Isn't it the Lord Jesus that summarized all the commandments by telling us of two great commandments? The first was to love the Lord God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and our neighbors, ourself. Well, what do you mean, preacher, about this matter of being good to your fellow man? Well, you know what? The best way that we can be good to our fellow man is, first of all, as a Christian, sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, can you imagine discovering a cure for cancer, having your cancer cured, and then refusing to tell anybody else that had cancer of the cure? And you know what, as Christians, we have the greatest message that we could ever share with anybody. And so when it talks about being good to our fellow men, I'm not talking about just a liberal social gospel. I'm talking about a, hey, do you know for sure that if you died today, you'd go to heaven? Let me tell you about the greatest thing that ever happened to me. And I thought about this matter, being good to your fellow men. Share the gospel with those around you. By the way, as Christians, be fair and just in your dealings with people around you. And then looking for opportunities just to be a blessing and a help to those around you. And again, that may pretty much summarize the Christian life right there. But I'm not going to focus on the last part of that. I want to focus this afternoon on the first part, this matter of bringing glory to God. And in just a minute, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that, because I think, again, the Bible teaches us several ways we can bring glory to God. And maybe the first one and the most repeated one is that we can bring glory to God with the praise of our mouth. And you know what? David wrote the psalm, and he asked this question: who is the King of Glory? And you know what? He was willing to stand up and answer that question. He asked it again: who is the King of Glory? The Lord of hosts, he's the King of Glory. And you know what? It's up to us as Christians to, with our mouth, praise the Lord. With our mouth, glorify the Lord. Matter of fact, Psalms 86:12 says, I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. We're going to have a short time of testimony. I'd like it to go on for 15 minutes or so. And I just like for people, one after another, to stand up and just say, can I spend a minute trying to bring a little glory to God and tell you how good he's been in my life, or what he's done for me, or a blessing that I could share. You know, folks, listen to me. I'm all for prayer requests, but prayer requests are kind of depressing. I'm a little disturbed when the church is more excited about prayer requests and bringing their woes and owies than they are praise time and testimony time, when they can stand up and say how good God's been. And so we're going to do that for a while. And then I thought, number two, the Bible teaches us that we can bring glory to God with the worship of our hearts. In Psalms 29, we read, give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. How? Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And folks, I believe that praise is a very public thing. I'm going to say this. I believe worship, and if you'll study the word worship in the Bible, you'll agree with me. Worship is mostly a private thing. You know, why, preacher, why don't you have on the sign out there, you know, 10:30 worship service, 7 o'clock worship service? Because if you study the Bible, worship is a private thing. Praise is a public thing. We advertise preaching services. You know why? Because there, if you come here, you're going to hear preaching. Amen. But if you study the Bible, I believe true worship, worshiping God in the beauty of his holiness, is something that, for the most part, the Bible teaches us, is done as a private thing. Let me ask you this, and let the Holy Spirit help you answer it. When's the last time, by yourself, you truly spent some time just worshiping God? You see, I believe that God gets great glory when one of his children just sits down or kneels down and takes some time before the throne of God, just exalting the name of the Lord, just thanking God, just rejoicing in all that God's done for us. Hey, let me just suggest something. Instead of always going to God with, I need, I need, I need, I want, I want, I want. And by the way, that's okay, because God invites us to do that. But maybe before we just show up and start blurting out what we need him to do for us, we ought to just spend a little time thanking him for what he's already done for us. Because I found out this, you know what, if you'll spend time praising God, you'll probably have a lot better chance getting your petition time answered and God moving in your life. And I'm talking about bringing glory to God. I want to spend 2018 with my mouth praising God and glorifying God. I want it in the privateness of my heart and my private time to spend more time worshiping the Lord. Then the Bible teaches us also that we can bring glory to God with the cleanness of our life. That one of the greatest ways to honestly bring glory and honor to God is by showing people around you an example of a changed life, a Christian life. Say, preacher, do you have Bible for that? Galatians 6:14. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. You know, folks, this whole idea of a worldly Christian is just doesn't line up anywhere with the scriptures. You know what? We're not supposed to be a worldly Christian. We're to be a separated Christian, separated from the world, different from the world. You know what? One person, I think I said this from time to time, got frustrated with my preaching, and they caught me in the foyer, and they kind of stomped their foot and said, well, how different do you think we're supposed to be from the world? And my answer was, as different as light is from darkness. And by the way, that's Bible. There wasn't a thing they could say to that. They turned around and walked away. Because you know what? That's what the Bible teaches us. If the world is dark, when we walk into the world, if we are just like the world, then what impact? What chance does anybody have of being reached? In just a minute, we're going to be lighting the candles. I'll have two of the ushers come down, and they'll light the end candles. And then if you'll just pass the light on down your row, I got to thinking, I'm going to enjoy that. Because you know what? In a lot of ways, that's the picture of the Christian life. You know, let's try. The truth is, somebody with a lit candle was the reason that you found the Lord. And you know what? When they pass that light on to you, I guess you can put it under a bushel. Don't we sing about that every Sunday morning? Oh, no, I'm going to let it shine. You know, don't let Satan blow it out. I'm going to let it shine. But our lives, it was about somebody sharing the gospel with us. And now we've got an opportunity to pass that light on to somebody else. And I was thinking about, boy, that brings glory to God. But it takes light in order to ignite light. It takes fire in order to ignite fire. You know, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which is God. So what's it teaching? What I said, you know what? We have an opportunity to glorify God through our body and through our spirit. Why? And how do we do it? Through the cleanness of our life. You know what? We can expect and shouldn't honestly be surprised when these type of sins are mentioned in the world. But boy, my goodness sake, shouldn't the people and the children of the Lord Jesus Christ be different? I'm talking about how to bring glory to God. 1 Corinthians 10:31 tells us this, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. And a lot of times you say, preacher, I struggle sometimes in gray areas. You know, should I do this? Should I not? Should I be involved in this? Should I not? And I think this is one of those umbrella principles that just helps me settle so many questions in my individual life. I have to decide for me. You have to decide for you sometime. I'm not in your circumstances. You're not in mine. And in that moment, I guess one of the things that helps me bring clarity to a decision in a situation is this. Would this bring glory to God? And you know what? If it's not going to bring glory to God, I'm not even saying that it's necessarily sinful, and I might not even pick up stones and throw it at somebody else that does it. But in my heart of hearts, the Bible says whatever you eat, whatever drink, whatever you do, just make sure that it reflects well on the Lord. Make sure that it doesn't damage the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. Make sure that it helps point people to Jesus. And the honest truth is that'll settle so many things in your life. And so I thought about those angels, and I read this story, and I thought on that Christmas Eve, they assembled, and they came down. And you know what they did? You know what their concern was? You know what their goal was? They wanted to praise and glorify God, and then they left us a mandate. Glory, bring glory to God in the highest. And by the way, while you're at it, on earth, you know what? Foster an environment of peace and goodwill towards men. And this afternoon, I want to give you an opportunity to spend some time glorifying the Lord.